This is out of control, but it's also the news according to me. Well, hey, tone down the music a little bit there, would you, buddy? Thanks. Appreciate that. I'm talking to myself. This is out of control, folks. This show has taken on a more serious tone over the last year. I've been going for 6 months or 5 months, whatever it is. And listening to a smattering of news this morning and realizing that the things that people really care about, the reasons for people being engaged and interested in this show are right here in my cup. I'm drinking some hot chocolate this morning. Got some cinnamon creamer in it. I know that's why you're tuning in. You just want to find out what that's about. And it's mighty good, I must say. The cat is locked out. I'm in my home studio this morning. The cat is locked out of the room. Not just the sound room. He's upstairs. He can't get down here. Well, he might be able to. He's a pretty smart cat. I think if he had an opposable thumb, we would all be dead. Interesting stuff in this schmattering, I call it. I'm not sure what kind of a word that is. Is it like a schmear? It's also a schmattering of news. It just kind of dawned on me this morning, you know, what we're up against, basically. These people are not politicians. Well, they're politicians. These people are not statesmen. These people are not, they don't care about the country. They don't care about the foundational principles of this country. These people are radical activists who have found themselves in the seat of power. And they have a playbook that is completely off the charts. I mean, we're talking, it is absolutely ridiculous. If you say anything against these people, you're a racist. If you oppose them, you hate children. And I've literally heard them saying now, they've said this in the past, but they're just coming right out and saying, well, you must be for dirty water and you must be for dirty air. Of course, this was something that, you know, it's been in the past, and I know that was one of Sean Hannity's talking points for a while. He would say it on every show. Dirty air, dirty water, blah, blah, blah. But it's true. They're outright saying it now, just all the time now. And it is, they have this down, you know, down pat, the talking points and the rhetoric. They know how to defend themselves. And I listened to a little speech that Mark Levin, I like Mark Levin. He gave a little, he always starts off like this, and then he starts talking like this, and the next thing you know, he's talking like this, and then he's talking like this, and these guys are this. He gets all wound up. It's like, and he's coming in for the pitch. It's like, it's pretty cool. I like Mark. He gets it. He understands the principles of individual liberty, property rights, all those things. And he's unwavering in his defense of them. And I appreciate that. See, once your eyes have been opened, it's interesting how most Republicans, most libertarians, most liberty understanding individuals who have been, you know, their eyes have been open to this idea that of the whole thing of individual liberty and what our founder, the vision that our founders had. Once you've seen that, you can't unsee it. And I'm convinced there's people who go through university and the higher learning institutions. Nothing wrong with higher learning. Just saying. These people that think that they're so much better than you because they have a Harvard. They've graduated from Harvard, Yale. And they have this impression, apparently, that you know, they never studied the Constitution out of respect for it. They never looked at the Bill of Rights and thought it was something to be respected, and they wanted to learn more about it so they could be able to teach these principles and find out more about the founders and what their intent was. That is not why they study the Constitution. They go to school, they learn the Constitution, and they figure out all the ways to subvert it. All of the ways that it's lacking.
Well, the, you know, the Constitution is a list of negative liberties. It's all negative liberties. Just says what the government can't do for you. Doesn't say what the government should do for you. Liberty is freedom from government. That's positive liberty. You see, if you're in the government, that's a negative liberty for you, because you, that's for anybody who calls it negative liberty, that means they want to take away your liberty because they don't see, you know, because their liberty's gone. Their liberty is being infringed. It's negative on their side because they're the politician who wants to rule you. That's why they refer to it as negative liberty. I think the opposite of liberty is slavery. They have this term, negative liberties. That's a negative liberties. Doesn't say what the government has to do for you. It just says what the government can't do. Exactly. That's the whole point, bumblebutt. And we have these politicians now who don't give a rip about the Constitution. You don't hear them talking about how to protect personal liberties and due process and property rights and the sovereignty of individuals, the preciousness of a life. I had a conversation going on in my head the other day. I was talking to an abortionist. There was actually some people, pro-abortion people, that were listening to this newscast, and they were talking about stuff. Oh, they were defending, I think it was ACLU, or somebody was defending the rights of the unborn. Because there's quite a few laws coming out right now. I think there's actually a city that has banned abortion in their city altogether, completely. Except for, you know, life of the mother or something else. That was two things, basically, that I think it was a topical pregnancy or something. There's only a couple situations where they can, where an abortion would be legal medically. It is now a crime and considered murder in their city. Now, stop and think about that. Now, the leftist radicals, the people who are abortion advocates, talk about it as, well, it's not a child yet. It's not a child. You know, it's the mother's right. It's the you know, there's it's her choice. It's her body, her choice. Can't infringe upon that right. She's got that right. Well, there's a couple other people involved in this. One is the father. The father has no say. If the father doesn't want to have an abortion, for that child to be aborted, he has no say. However, you know, you know, if the woman decides to have the child, the father's responsible for the, or can be held responsible for the upbringing of that child. There's one other person involved who has no say. The child. And this is the crux of the issue is, when does life begin? When is that child a child? And it blows my mind when I run into Christians. And not just mealy-mouthed Christians, like people I would consider solid Christians. Who are Democrats because their family was always Democrat. They're just Democrats. And they're Democrats because they were born Democrat. The walk away movement has been really interesting to watch, by the way. People realizing that they don't have to be in that party. That they really don't support anything, that the direction that they're going. And it amazes me because I don't know how you can read scripture and not realize when God says, I knew, when you were in the womb, I knew you. This is not just a mass of tissue. This is a person. Now, granted, I understand. It's an ominous thing to think of, you know, bringing a child into this world and all the stuff that's going on. And how crazy it can be and the choices that that child might make and all those unknowns. But that's not how God sees that. God doesn't see all the pitfalls and problems that may occur. He sees beyond that and sees the hope of what that child could become. He has a purpose and a plan and a vision for that child, just like he does for you and me and everybody else on the planet. And yet, for a Christian to say it's just a mass that doesn't matter, it just blows my mind. And, you know, there are some Democrats that are pro-life. But when you're supporting a party whose main platform, one of their main platforms, is abortion rights. Up until the child is born and then some. I think you have to stop for a moment and take note of what kind of association and organization that you're associating yourself with. Because, frankly, my dear, if you can't see look at the radicals in your group. Look at the actions of a growing multitude of people in that group. Well, that's not what I represent. They may be in the party, but that's not who I am. Whatever. They're taking over that party. That is the identity of that party now. The radical leftists, the Marxists, and I think Mark Levin had a really good point. Maybe I should have recorded that. He had a really good point. You can't desire to fundamentally change America. United States, unless you don't like the United States. You would not want to fundamentally, now think about that, fundamentally change the country. Not restore the country. Not advance the country. Well, they would consider it advancement by destroying it. The agenda is radical. And they are all over it. And they're gaining momentum. Somehow, there's this weird philosophy on the right, the part of the establishment. The establishment thinks they're coming back now. They think that they weathered the storm of Trump. And now they're going to reestablish themselves. Now, here's, pay attention to who is popping up in the news, being interviewed, all the statements that are being made. Pay attention to that, because it's not just happenstance. George W. Bush has reappeared in the news. He's being interviewed by several people, and he's making some very interesting, I will say, statements. Downright slamming the GOP. Now, let me just say this. George Bush, he, you know, he comes across as this, he's just, you know, Texan, you know, just a country folk guy, just a common guy. He played that part very well throughout the, his terms. Make no mistake about it. He is a very polished politician. Whereas Joe Biden has been nothing but a cheap, you know, I think even, I just said this the other day, and then Mark Levin said it today. Biden is not a leftist or a rightist or a centrist or anything. He's just a politician. He will do anything to stay in power and stay, you know, stay in that position. He wants to be a hero without being a hero. Well, you know, even in his speech, he said he's going to reduce child poverty. He's going to cut child poverty in half. And everybody clapped. Yay! Well, I'm going to start a new colony on Mars. Yay! I'm going to build a utopian society. Yay! And exactly how are you going to do that, Joe? He didn't explain it. He just throws that statement out there. And everybody claps. That's what we're going to do. Yay! I'm not going to have any mean tweets. Yay! I'm not Trump. Yay! It's like, so what? It blows my mind sometimes that they're not even making promises that they, you know, they'll explain how they're going to do something. They just make promises out of thin air and just, okay, yay! I'm going to make sure everybody has lollipops. Yay! It's ridiculous. Well, these people are not, you know, Mark Levin was talking about this stuff, and this is the one interview I heard that really kind of stuck out more than any other, but he was going on about how the fundamental change of this country and how, you know, George Bush now has come out speaking, and he's talking. And this is no, like I said, this is not happenstance. This is not just, oh, he just happens to be in the news because somebody interviewed him. The timing of this is absolutely critical as well. George Bush knows what he's doing. The establishment has been around for a long time. They know what they're playing the chess game right now. They are going to try to do everything they can to keep Trump from coming back. They are lockstep with the Democrats in this one. And I guarantee you, they are plotting and planning. They're all excited. They are beside themselves about the possibility of taking back the House without Trump being the president. Because this means they feel like this means they're back. We can do this without Trump. We have the House now. You can turn this around. Yeah, let's see what happens when they get the House. Let's see how all these Republicans who are going to fight like hick. Oh, they're all saying they're going to fight like hell. That's real easy to do when you're in the minority, because you can't have any, you don't have any effect. All you're doing is making sound bites and stupid statements that don't amount to anything. Well, we're going to fight. Oh, we're going to fight hard. Yeah, we're going to put this stuff out there, and we're going to submit these bills and these resolutions. Blah, 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 blah. I think the Democrats just look at him and just go, what? They squint their eyes like Biden and just, what are you, true international depression? It's fecklessness. And they love being in that position of being stuck with no power. It's the most aggravating thing. Now you watch when they take back the House. Let's see what happens. I'm looking forward to them taking back the House. And we'll just have to see what happens when they do that. I guarantee you, all of a sudden, oh, we need to work with the Democrats now. We don't want to get too radical because we don't want to lose the House. You're going to lose more than the House if you don't get radical on this. And you don't, I think what they call radical. You mean just being, getting back to our foundational roots again? You know, getting things straightened out? For some reason, you think that's a radical idea? That just blows my mind. Well, if you haven't noticed, this morning's, I've been posting, as I've been speaking here, I've been posting last night's show. Last night's show was very late. I basically, I did the show, saved it, and normally when I save the show, because my internet is so slow at the moment, it'll be slow until the 9th, actually till the 10th, whenever it gets reset, the big reset on the internet speeds. When that happens, until that happens, last night I went to bed and I thought, well, I'll sit there and I'll wait an hour or two while the show uploads onto the iCloud. It literally takes that long. Never did. So I got up this morning, thought, well, I'll post it right away from my iPad. Still wasn't there. Still wasn't in the cloud. Still on my computer. It's about 10% done uploading to the cloud. I don't understand that at all. So I ended up coming down here doing the show, and I decided, well, I'll run it off the hard drive and just upload it from here, and just do it. So I did it, and it just posted. It'll be coming out on Facebook and other things here soon when I get that done. Probably do that as I'm talking as well, because I multitask. I'm juggling. I'm petting the dog. I'm uploading a podcast, and I'm recording a podcast all at the same time, as well as I'm also drinking hot chocolate. It's all going on around me. I've also got some equations going on in the back of my head to solve some world problems. yes. Anyway, I digress. Well, that didn't work. There it is. now that you know what goes on behind the scenes here in my secret little cove as I'm doing all this stuff, I have a few headlines here we'll talk about. Kamala, again, has come out and made some speeches. And what... Pay close attention to the way she talks. She is incredibly bad at reading speeches. Incredibly bad. I have never seen anything like this. She stares at the teleprompter. She nods her head because she's trying to get you to agree with everything she says. as she's speaking. Pay attention to that. She's doing that deliberately, trying to get you to nod along with her because she wants you to agree. That's when you listen to someone and they're sitting there nodding their head, talking to you, they want you to nod your head with them. It's because it's a natural tendency. It's like they're nodding their head and saying, "You don't want to buy this car, do you?" Like that's like if a used car salesman, you know, would, "Can I interest you in this car?" And then they'll nod their head a little bit. That's a normal thing that people will do in communication, and it's a very manipulative thing. So here's some headlines on Reliable News today, or Reliable News Now. Let's go through some of these. Well, was I finished talking about George Bush? I don't think I was. Let's go back to that. Let's circle back. Let's circle back that, Mr. Jen Psaki. So George Bush has come out now, and he's this timing of, and what I'm talking about when I talk about timing, I'm referring to the election cycle. We are halfway, because it has already started, but believe it or not, they're always running for election, folks. That is always on their mind. You were always on my mind. So that's, yeah, Willie just stopped by to sing that real quick. He just poked his head in the window here and sang a little ditty. The interesting thing that's going on here right now is that they're setting this up. And the way they're setting it up is, you know, they have George come out, make some statements, kind of chumming up to the left in the media. They're all playing into this. They realize Trump is still out there. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the voting booth, Trump 2024. So they're concerned about this. And they know that, you know, this is kind of brilliant in a sense, you know, on Trump's part, what he has done. They're setting up this organization and this mechanism to primary all these establishment Republicans out there. Now, if, you know, again, Kevin McCarthy, if you want more evidence that he's not on your side, look at the way he's standing up for Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney. It was interesting that Mitt Romney got booed the other day when he went to a delegates convention in I think it was Utah. I believe it was home state, I think. Wherever it was. He steps out there and they're booing him. There were more boos than there were claps, folks. It was pretty obvious. It looked terrible. It sounded terrible. It was a ruckus crowd. And these delegates are the people who are engaged and understand what's going on. These aren't just mealy-mouthed, you know, soundbite voters. These are people who are engaged and know what's going on. He steps out there and says, "Thank you. Thank you." He's so into himself that he thinks that they're actually, you know, throwing this tirade because they like him so much. The guy who was the moderator, the introducing guy, he came out basically and said, he said that, "I'll show the guy some respect. You know, this whatever." So then it was pretty quiet after that. Let him speak. Right afterwards, after he got done with his speech, he had left the building. Romney is unhinged. Romney shouldn't be running even for dog catcher at this point. Like I said before, I've said this many times. I worked for a guy who had the exact same kind of personality type as Romney. And I'm telling you, He is out. He's got a few screws loose. He lives in an alternate world somewhere, and he's just weird. In fact, come to think of it, this guy that he ended up running for office later on in his life failed miserably. What he was doing, and. And then you got Liz Cheney, who is you talk about deep swamp stuff. These people are deep into the swamp. These are swamp creatures protecting themselves. Because the pool is getting a little shallower now. They're becoming a little bit more exposed. So they're kind of circling the weeds. I can't say, I've never seen wagons in a swamp, so I'm not sure exactly how they would circle the wagons. They circle the weeds, I guess. I don't know. All this stuff is being played out right now, and they're trying to maintain some grip so that they can maintain some sense of moderateness and working with the Democrats. It's like they don't understand who these Democrats are now and who's taking over the Democrat Party. It's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden's not in charge. So just make that clear. I think I need to keep repeating that so that everybody understands it. Joe Biden is not in charge of the Democrat Party. He's not in charge of when he goes to the bathroom. He's becoming more like Nadler every day. Speaking of Nadler, he's another individual who I wish I had video for this show because there was something I would have loved to have shown. I don't know if I even talked about it on the show or not. There was a back and forth with Jim Jordan and Nadler on the floor and some other I thought it was senators. Pretty sure it was, congressman. So there's this back and forth. There are two people, at least two people that I can see on camera, who are standing. They're sitting down, barely sitting down. They're like on the edge. The one guy behind him is on the edge of his seat. Of course, he's wearing a mask. You can't tell what he's saying. You can see that his mouth is moving, but you can't tell what he's because his jaw is going up and down, but because he's got a mask on, you can't really tell that he's talking, but he's obviously speaking. This is really convenient for them. And there's a guy to his right, to Nadler's right side. He's on the left of the screen. And he's sitting over there, and they're both like umpires. I would say vampires, but that's different. They're like umpires listening to what he's doing. They're literally telling him what to do and what to say. Who are these people? They're not representatives. I didn't see anybody that I recognized as a representative from anybody's state or anything. They're not congressmen. They're just his handlers, literally. Literally. I assume they're the people who change his diapers. It was pathetic. I mean, it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. And they were even coming over and telling him when to hit the gavel. One guy came over and took his hand and going up and down. He pointed at the gavel and went up and down like that. I'm like, are you kidding? They have to tell him when to use the gavel? Who is in charge of these people? Who are these people? When a leader has become so inept, drooling on himself, how do these people stay in office? I mean, that is serious. That's a serious question. Because there's something funny going on there. And I don't mean funny ha-ha. I mean funny hee-hee. It's crazy. The swamp is deep, and I guarantee you they're trying to keep this thing moving forward, and there is an agenda. And it's very involved in what's going on with the Alphabet Soup organizations as well as everything else. These people do not care about the country for anything other than using us as chattel, using our productivity, keeping us in line, skimming off the money and the power. That's what these people are all about. That's what it's all about. That's all they do. And it's what they think about 24/7 and how they're going to position themselves in a power play. When you have, you know, Nancy Pelosi and all the other people coming out and say, it's for the children, it's for the children. It is, we are in a very serious time, folks. I don't know any other way to put this. I hope that this motivates you to pray and find hope. I find hope. There is hope, folks. We do have, you know, hope. It ain't over till it's over. And I personally think we need to, you know, if you're the only one left, continue to speak out against this and fight against this. Because I'm convinced that the majority of the country is not going along with this. I think the Republican Party is counting on the you know, the pulse of the country being basically not in for the radical thing either, and they're hoping that, well, we can be, you know, we can be the moderates, we can come out of this and be on top. And again, it's all for power to get their agenda done. So I digress. I think I'm done with that. Let's just talk about some headlines. We've got some things going on in the news here. Judge orders release of memo advising Barr not to pressure Trump, to pursue Trump obstruction charges. So apparently Barr is this is when they make statements like this, it's almost like this double negative paradox. So this judge has ordered the release of a memo advising Barr, former attorney general, who is still involved, by the way. He's still on the government staff. Let's be very clear. He's still on the payroll. Advising Barr not to pursue Trump obstruction charges. Now, I heard a little bit about this yesterday. And the way it was framed, it sounded like Barr was defending Trump. I don't know if that is the case or not. It's been so confusing so far that I'm not sure what to make of this, because it didn't seem what I was seeing and what was going on. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on there. So, whatever it was, we'll have to just wait for that to unfold and see what's going on there. And we will. I'm sure we'll figure it out sooner or later. But I know that whatever they're going to try to cripple Trump so he has no effect in 2024. Now he's going to have some effect in 2022 because he is going to primary. This organization is going to primary a lot of these swamp creatures. They're going after him, and I believe they will be successful in many ways. Trump has now launched the, I think it's called, what is it called? It's not The Verge. What is it called? Um, I know that the one, the frankspeech.com is the Mike Lindell social media platform. I don't know what the name of I don't know what the name of the platform is yet. This thing doesn't say what it is. And it's not giving you a link to it, obviously, because they don't want you going there. This is a message. This is a posting from The Verge at TheVerge.com. So it's Trump's social media platform has launched, and it's just a blog. That is what it is right now. And this is the way you unfold something like this, because you have to, it's the normal progression of this is you can't just launch everything all at once. You have to get the platforms up, kind of have to build on each other. So you've got to put stuff like this out, and then you get yourself established. Basically right now what he has is a blog where he posts some statements and things, and he's going to, you know, that's going to be the way he comes back with this. And then it will eventually become more than that. And Frank also is, Frank Speech has also, I've tried to sign up, and it will not allow you. It says you're, you know, access denied. So I'm not sure what's going on there either. Well, that's interesting. There, this picture is interesting. Got a guy putting posters up, or cardboard up on a wall, up on the windows, and of the one facility where that says The Big Lie. It looks just like the guy that was putting up the cardboard on election day. What was I talking about? We were talking about, let's go back over here to the headlines. I got kind of lost in that headline a little bit. Nashville gunman lured police to home, and then he opened fire. You're going to see more of this. There is this. The media has been very successful, and some organizations have been very successful in vilifying police officers. Maybe some of you have seen the video of this teacher who was, she made, I'm a teacher, so there. You're a Mexican racist. You'll never be anything more than a Mexican racist. And you're a murderer, because he's a cop. He's a murderer. All cops are murderers. And I'm really happy about the fact that this lady is teaching our children. I'm sure she never mentions, you know, off the cuff, anything about police officers. This is ridiculous stuff, planting that kind of stuff in kids' heads. And she just berates this officer for pulling her over for using her cell phone. She goes, yes, I'm scared because I'm filming you. I was filming you with my phone. Well, you can't drive and use your cell phone. That's why I'm pulling you over. Well, you can't, but I'm filming you, but I'm filming, that's why I'm using my phone, because I'm scared of you. I'm using my phone. But you can't use your, that's why I'm pulling you over. I was doing 38 in a 40. You don't have no reason to pull me over. He goes, well, yeah, I do, because you're using your phone as you're driving. It's unsafe. He had every right to pull her over. And she didn't think so. Well, because she's a school teacher. So there. And you're just a Mexican racist. Murderer. Because you're a police officer. You know, I'm going to, when this stuff starts happening, and I'm seeing it more and more, and it's just aggravating the daylights out of me. This happened to be this guy's own personal body cam. This wasn't the company's body cam. This was his own personal body cam that he puts on himself, because this kind of stuff happens and he's protecting himself. Sure enough, it paid off for him on this one. I'm going to make it more of a point of going out of my way to thank officers for their service. They don't have to know who I am. Doesn't matter who I am. I'm not doing it to get brownie points. But I'm going to make sure that I show them respect. And that they know that they are respected and appreciated and supported. Because that job is not getting any easier, folks. Pfizer plans to file for full FDA approval of the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, when this goes into effect, this is what they have to do next. They have to, because this thing's on an emergency, what do they call it, EMC or whatever it's called, emergency, or EMU. EMU, it's on this thing where they, it's an emergency use vaccination status or whatever. And the reason that the military can't be forced to take it is because it's on this emergency use experimental thing. Once they get full FDA approval of this vaccine, that changes the game. Now, government organizations, schools, military, they can require it. This is when I start getting concerned, because the vaccine passport will come into play. Now, think about this. This may be a whole show in and of itself, so I'm not going to really dig down too deep in this, but this is part of the plan for global control, and I guarantee you this is part of it. We are that close to stepping into this, and I'll talk about more about how that works later on, and in the fear factor that they've got involved in everybody, and how this plays into it in something that is a temporary issue. So we'll get into that later on. They're seizing the opportunity here because it's an opportunity that will go away, and let's move on. We have a legal team for Derek Chauvin seeks new trial over BLM t-shirt uproar. There's a guy that I didn't really talk about this last night. I did say something about it, but actually it'd be this morning's release of the show. But this show hopefully will be released by before noon. There was a juror, at least one, that has been kind of caught, and I'm sure he's not the only one. When he was asked if he had participated in any BLM activity or anti-policing protests, they asked if he was at the protest in Minneapolis, for instance. He said, "No, I was in." I was at a MLK march in D.C. at that time. Yeah, he was at a march in D.C. that was supposed to be on the anniversary of the MLK march. But that's not what the march was about. The march was all about police brutality. And now he's caught with a picture of him wearing a t-shirt, says, "Get your knee off our necks," and it has a picture of George Floyd on the t-shirt. He's also wearing a Black Lives Matter baseball cap. This is when he was at the march in D.C. He was a juror. And he essentially lied to get on the jury. The problem with this is blatantly a mistrial issue. They can ask for another trial. Maxine Waters also the words that she spoke. Now, in my opinion, this judge did a horrendous job And maybe he had other reasons for doing what he was doing. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes and what kind of pressure he was put under. I don't know. All I can tell you is he did a terrible job. Just in the little bit of legal understanding I know, and some of the things that people, there's a couple of lawyers that I listen to. One of them is a prosecutor. And he usually has a live show that goes on and on. It's an hour and a half long. But it's really good information. I mean, he really does present things from both. He can very objectively present issues from both sides and be convincing and leave you very confused. That's how good he is. I mean, it really does take a mindset, a talent to understand, to be that objective on both sides and be able to present a case that you could convince either way. That's a talent. That is understanding the law and understanding the minutiae of things. It's quite impressive. Because the line of reasoning, you know, that each side should take and you know, where they're going to go with it, and the, you know, the weaknesses and strengths in those arguments and how that pans out. And he's been on top of this case in many other cases as well, but he's kind of a lawyer that defends people against police. I think it's called Watch the Watchers or something it's called. He's got this group that basically watches police and watches police overreach. And not just the police, but and there is a problem with that. There are some cops out there who have this power trip ego thing going on. And they take it personally when you go 40 miles an hour in a 35. For some reason, I don't know what the issue is there with them. They can't just do their job, issue the ticket, and go away. It's like they take it personally. Like you've personally offended them. And hopefully they'll back off that attitude a little bit now because there are some people out here who want to support them, want to give them some respect and support them and be on their side. And you're not winning hearts and minds by continuing to act the way you're acting. But be professional. Do your job. We'll get along fine. I'll keep my hands where you can see them. I understand. But don't approach my car with an attitude. I'll still be Mr. Nice Guy, but you're not winning me over. When it's all said and done, I'm driving away feeling pretty, less than supportive. When you cop an attitude like that, cop an attitude, get it? I see what I did there. I didn't even see what I did there. It kind of snuck up on me. So they're probably going to get a new trial out of this because, Maxine Waters came into town and was basically threatening violence if they didn't get the outcome that they wanted. And I'm sure that the jury heard that. Of course, the judge didn't even query them to find out if they heard that. Anything. Biden, quote, hopes, end quote, to meet with Putin during trip to Europe next month. They probably won't meet. The Putin administration is not exactly they don't have any respect for Biden. You know, how would you feel about spending an hour listening to a man babble and drool and talk about true international depression? They recorded the speech that he did before Congress, the joint session of Congress, which was supposed to take the place of the State of the Union address. And they cut out a bunch of stuff. There were several cuts in that. I don't know if any of you know. I thought it was just the video I was watching. I watched other videos and they cut stuff out. The thing must have been on like a 5-minute delay or something, and they were actually editing as they were going. Because that's the only thing I can explain. The official feed coming from the White House was being edited as it was being, presented. That's the only thing I can think of. And that is possible to do, by the way. You can have a 5 or 10 minute delay. Looks like it's coming to you live. and they're literally editing on the fly. Now, you can edit on the fly and do it live in real time, which is very little latency, you know, 8-second latency or 10 seconds, which is normal. It's a normal latency. You can also delay 5 minutes and literally work on the presentation prior to it being live fed. You can cut parts out up to 5 minutes if you want to. I mean, you can literally, you know, do that much delay. But enough about the technical world of editing. Anti-tax protests rage in Colombia. At least 17 dead. Anti-tax rage. Yeah. That's probably coming here before too long. But I don't know if that was in Bogota or if that was in Medellin. It's hard to tell where that was. It doesn't say where it was from. I don't know. I think it's all over the country right now. Trump announces his new communication platform. I'll find out more about that for this afternoon's show. Coke abandons diversity plan after architect abruptly resigns. Kevin McCarthy is caught on a hot mic bashing Liz Cheney. Now, I doubt this. This, again, the quote hot mic for some politicians. I'll have to listen to this. I'm gonna examine this one. I'm not letting this one get by because this could be a setup. This could have been planned. Hey, now, Liz, I'm going to have a hot mic moment, and I'm going to say something about you. I don't really mean it, but I have to do this to protect the integrity of my seat here. And we need to, you know, we have this whole plan of how we're going to act this out. And unfortunately, we're going to have to take one for the team on this one because I need to stay in power here and make it look like I'm a part of the, you know, the grassroots conservative GOP here, and not the establishment. So I'm gonna have a hot mic moment, wink wink. That's what I just bet that would be. That's probably what's gone on, because Frank Luntz told me that it would be a good idea. I need to say these certain words because Frank told me to. Republicans demand answers from FBI on widespread FISA violations. You know, I get the feeling that people are tired of hearing about the FISA court stuff. And the whole, you know, spying on Trump thing. This is, heads need to roll on this. These are people who are still have their jobs, who did this. They lied to the FISA court. They manipulated paperwork. They knew what was going on. This whole thing was a setup from the beginning, and they still have their jobs. They're still working. They might shuffle them around in the department a little bit, but they're still working for the department. Make no mistake, you know, these people who bust into Giuliani's home and all the stuff, which, you know, some of the stories about that now have had to be retracted in the news, but they don't care. They get the story out there and they've got their story. They won't talk about the retraction. They'll just put, you know, they'll bury their retraction someplace on, you know, page 12, the bottom in a micro print. Yeah, we published a retraction on that, but we got our soundbite out there. That's all we needed. Made Rudy look bad. AOC is pushing for a 1.5 million person climate core. Yeah, I wonder what the payroll budget on that one's going to be. Well, we got trillions of dollars floating around out there. So we got plenty of money to do this now. 1.5 million person climate core to work on federally funded projects. We have to have 1.5 million people to figure out where we're going to put these trillions of dollars the government has now. It's so much money, we have to have, you know, that many people working for us to figure out where to go. German government, you know, there was this big schkapoople about Biden was saying that 220 million people have been vaccinated because he made this. In my first 100 days, I promised that we'd have 100 million people vaccinated. He goes, We didn't make that. We did 220 million vaccines in the first 100,000 days. So we did more than a whole, all these more. Well, the number, of course, everybody fact checked him on that. And made, oh, no, they've only done 130 something or 120 or whatever it was, 130. Well, the problem is a lot of these people have had two vaccinations. He was counting vaccination, how, the number of sticks, the number of needle sticks. And when you got people getting two of them, for most of these vaccines, I should say, of course you're going to have fewer people and more needle sticks. So that's where the, Mr. Joe Biden on top of things confusion was. We didn't have that many people vaccinated. We had that because that's a huge number of the population. That's, 2/3 of the population there. We've got almost half the population, not even quite half. And now his goal is to vaccinate 70% of adults to have at least one dose by July 4th. He's setting these goals that we're already on track to make by next month. I'm going to set a goal to make it upstairs by noon today. By golly, I'm going to achieve that goal. I'll probably be up and down the steps several times, by noon. It's the kind of ridiculousness that these people are doing. I don't know. We were already vaccinating over 1 million people a day when he took office, when he made that promise to vaccinate 100 million people in the first 100 days. Now, were those 100 million people vaccinated only during his administration? No. He's counting everybody who's been vaccinated since the time they started vaccinating people before he was his administration. Of course, he says the vaccine wasn't even available till his administration stepped in. That's what he's told. That's what he said. He said that to some reporters, and they never pushed back on him. Because. A spy plane has been identified circling the location of the Arizona audit. Now, let me explain to you something. The CIA, and there are certain intelligence agencies within, I don't know if it's CIA, but there are certain intelligence agencies within the United States with a warrant, supposedly, which is, I don't trust warrants anymore either. They will orbit a certain area with very high-tech aircraft. I'm not going to tell you how I know this, other than I know this. They will circle for 4, sometimes 5 hours. In a particular region or location. Usually within a few miles of a particular target. They have all kinds of onboard electronics, and the pilots don't even usually know what all is being recorded. They're not the technical guys. They're just flying the plane. Depending on the type of aircraft and the equipment being used and what they're doing, sometimes there are people in the back of the plane, if it's a big enough airplane, that they will have a technical person there, monitoring, not necessarily monitoring all of the data and all of the voice recording, but they are tapping into cell phone transmissions and data transmissions. And they're recording every bit of it. Now, supposedly they can only keep certain things. But there are radio calls, the small frequency band stuff, CB radios, family band, all this, anything that's transmitted through the air. And even, it goes a little deeper than that. I won't get into it. But let's just say they can zoom in on certain activity, informational activity, as well as other types of information that they're gathering. And to hear this, to hear that a plane has been identified circling the location of the Arizona audit, kind of makes me wonder what organize. I mean, it's not cheap to have a plane flying around like that. Now, I don't know if it's an actual human flying the plane, or if this is a drone flying around. They didn't say a drone; they said a plane. So it's a spy plane. Now, there are drones that are fixed wing drones. Everybody thinks of a drone; they think of these little quadcopters, kind of, you know, take off and land. They just kind of zip around vertically. But there are drones with cameras on them that are fixed wing aircraft. They're small, like the old RC planes we used to fly. Those are considered drones as well if they're autonomous. If you can plug in chart a course and have them fly on their own, that is a drone. And that could be what it was too. Charlie Crist can't make up his mind, launches his third run for governor, second time as a Democrat. We won't get into that. Scientists wonder if COVID will mutate and disappear. This happens. And this is why I'm saying it's a temporary thing, and all of a sudden now you've got all this bureaucracy that you're establishing. And so this other, here's the last article here I'm going to talk about is, there is no herd immunity against the common cold. Might not happen with COVID. It may become as weak as the common cold, which is, you know, I defer back to the headline right before that. Because it could weaken. Everybody says, oh, the variants, you know, you got to keep your mask on because there's variants. Yeah. Here's an interesting headline. This one last headline. Hundreds of millions of PPP loans went to firms backed by the communist Chinese. Well, imagine that. Did a BLM activist set up the killing of Ashley Babbitt at the Capitol? We'll have to talk about that a little bit. Because that's maybe something we talk about this afternoon. I might dig into that one a little bit further. Yeah. I think that's, the show's been going on for an hour now. Hour and a half. A little over an hour. And that's a lot. And I believe that most of you only paid for an hour, so you're getting this extra 7 minutes for free. So make sure you send your check in to the News According to Me. Make the check out to me and send it in to wherever. Just drop it in the mailbox. And that way you'll keep this show going, because otherwise I'll cut you off. And don't you wish. Just keep wishing. The day is long, but the nights are getting shorter. So that's, I don't know what that has to do with anything. It's Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. Have a great day. God bless, and we'll talk to you this afternoon about some more news, according to me.